President-elect Trump has been weighing in on Castro's death via Twitter. "Fidel Castro is dead!" Exclamation point. He tweeted that over the weekend. And then this morning he followed up with, "If Cuba is unwilling to make a better deal for the Cuban people, the Cuban-American people, and the U.S. as a whole, I will terminate the deal." We wondered what that means for U.S.-Cuba relations going forward, so we asked Eduardo Gamarra to weigh in. He's a professor of politics and international relations at Florida International University in Miami.
What President-elect Trump is referring to is the political side of the equation. Members of our community have long been saying that what President Obama accepted gave a lot of concessions. Look, this week we have the inauguration of commercial flights to Cuba. You know, we already have cruises going to Cuba and so on. And so the argument is that we've given Cuba a lot of concessions on the economic front with no concessions on the political front. But the Cubans have been fairly clear on this. They are interested in making their economy more competitive, but they have no interest in making their political system more competitive. They do not believe in liberal representative democracy with multiple parties. They don't believe in pluralism. They believe in a centralized political system. And that's non-negotiable from their perspective. From our perspective, we want to push pluralism and we want to push human rights. And I think that those are very commendable things, but we need to also understand that I don't think Cuba is going to budge there. And in the end, I think Cuba will continue to open up its economy gradually, but will not relent on the political side.
So if Donald Trump decides to reverse the process that the White House and the State Department and the Cuban government have been kind of hashing out for well over 2 years, what does that do to pluralism in Cuba?
I don't think that there will be pluralism in Cuba. In fact, I think some of the criticisms of what has been happening on the island since December 17th of 2015 is that dissent has been severely repressed. Things have not gotten better for dissenters in Cuba, and they're unlikely to get better. And under the Trump administration, things are likely to get worse for dissenters in Cuba. But at the same time, I think it's also important to note that they have opened up so much recently, and there is such great interest now in Cuba from South Americans, Asians, and Europeans to invest in the island, that the reversal of the deal would essentially penalize Americans who have invested there, and even members of the Cuban-American community who have been investing there as well.
What can the Trump administration do to hurt Cuba, if that is at all on their agenda?
Frankly, one of the things that has provided a safety valve for Cuba for the last six decades has been immigration. This year, we have already had 40,000 Cubans leave the island and settle in the United States, mainly here in South Florida. Those are 40,000 less people that Cuba has to provide welfare, healthcare, employment, and so on. It's also 40,000 people who might serve as internal dissent. And that safety valve is the one that, in fact, Senator Rubio and others have been basically trying to close. And it's very curious and almost paradoxical that members of the old Cuban elite who are here in Florida are the ones that are attempting to close down now that immigration valve. Their argument is that these people are coming here not as political refugees, but as economic refugees. They're not opponents of the regime. Closing that loophole, in other words, doing away with the Cuban Adjustment Act, might serve more to penalize Cuba than closing the economic opening.
Eduardo, we've got to remember that Donald Trump is a real estate developer and hotelier first and foremost. Are you at all surprised that his first reaction to the death of Fidel Castro was not to say, oh, the Malecón in Havana, the waterfront corniche, it's ripe for exploitation now?
I'm not surprised by anything that the president-elect has to say, and I'm not surprised when he reverses himself. So I would not be surprised to find 6 months, a year down the road when it is no longer politically expedient, because right now, you know, the reality is that he probably had a lot of help from conservative sectors of the Cuban community here in Miami to win Florida. And, you know, he named Mauricio Claver, a very prominent Cuban exile here, to his transition team. And so right now he has some political debts to pay. Down the road, I would not be surprised if Mr. Trump is negotiating to build a Trump Tower on the Malecón.
Eduardo Gamarra, professor of politics and international relations at Florida International University. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are with The World.